Rue. I've saved everything so that I can just give it all away. I'm a light receptacle. I'm feeling new energies moving through me. I'm making it up as I go along, which is kind of refreshing. It's without, other people's scripts. Another day of freedom with my thoughts. Another day to stay dressed like this. Another day to maybe skip a meal while I make music, while I get groovy with my thoughts. We're all in this planet together. There ain't no getting off just yet. Our rides haven't arrived. Our plan hasn't been planned. Our race hasn't been raced. The talks haven't been heard. The scenery hasn't been blessed. The neighbors are thinking about you, thinking about me. Everybody wants to be together. Welcome to another edition of Planet Radio, and kind of a song that went from mellow to like perky in no time at all. I've been playing my Irish bouzouki on a fairly regular basis. And I must say, I'm rather enjoying it. Who would have thought? I used to be a guitar player when I was younger, and it wasn't resonating with me, and so I eventually switched over to a keyboard and then found the drum. And somewhere along the way, I discovered that, you know, I actually do love stringed instruments. I love cello, violin, and I do love guitar, I do love bass, I love them all. And the bouzouki resonates with me a lot. And it has a, I just love the Middle Eastern energies that come out of this instrument. Even though it's an Irish bouzouki, but the way I play it and the way it's tuned, it tends to be more Middle Eastern for me. So here we are today. We're right after a few days after Christmas, and if you're like me, you've been making the rounds and been getting out and about and having lots of good food. And I've certainly been eating well, and I must say I'm very impressed with the efforts of health that I've seen around me. And I'm seeing, you know, a consciousness in people that is very refreshing for me. And it's great to be able to speak one's own truth, and I feel more and more inclined to do so amongst new people, and I think it's rather refreshing for everybody, because when we're in these social holiday situations with people we're only going to get to know, you know, for one evening or over a meal, it's hard to be revealing, and it's hard, you know, because I mean the talk isn't always deep in a situation where you're out of your element. And for me, I'm learning to become comfortable out of my element more and more. Because if you're, well, for myself, I've made quite a cushy home here. And I'm surrounded with instruments that I love, and I've got my computer. And I've got, you know, I'm accessible to friends, family, and vice versa. And I'm very comfortable here. And so I got to thinking here over the holidays. Well, you know, I kind of like the idea of meeting some new people too, and that's not going to always happen where they're going to be arriving to my doorstep, especially since I haven't been planning anything, any parties or gatherings. So I've been on quite a stroke of amazing. Celebrations, and I've been I've had some amazing musical experiences too the last few days, and I'm just really amazed, you know, that you never know who's going to have this talent or that talent around us. And some people have really You know, I've been happily and joyously amazed by, you know, some of the jams, the musical jams that I've been finding myself in. And so that's one of the joys of having all these instruments is that often when I go out to visit someone, I bring an instrument. And this is like, for me, it's like bringing along, you know, a little bit of, good party energy. I mean, because what party, you know, most parties have music. And if you're like, if you have the same experiences as me in the party world, there's been a lot of recordings played at parties, and I love that. And I've played many recordings myself. But right now, because I got all these instruments, I am into a into a live music vibe, and I find myself more drawn to listening to other people's live music and to play live myself. Just be in the now. And without, you know, any rehearsal. Just being an accompaniment to someone who's learning a new instrument can create, you know, a real beautiful moment. And so in my strive for beautiful moments, I ended up on a road trip to Regina earlier this week, and it was very wonderful for me to have a nice drive outside of Saskatoon to Regina, which is about a 3-hour drive if you drive like me. And I ended up having a few jams with some people at the Regina. They have an Aboriginal open mic. And, you know, normally, I would perform in any situation. It doesn't have to be like an Aboriginal open mic. But I met some really amazing people there. And I ended up playing with a fellow named Thomas, who's an amazing singer-songwriter. And then a fellow named Errol, who is an actor and another very talented singer-songwriter. And then there was another fellow from a band called Sylvie, whose name was Chris. And I am just blown away by all the amazing talent that I ended up finding myself, you know, experiencing just because I decided to leave my house. And then, you know, so it's reaffirming for me that whenever I leave my house, I can have the adventures, and I can have I can put myself in a situation where I meet new people, and it's going to be a vitality increasing experience. And so that's what I've been having, and so this holiday has been a real pleasure for me. One of the other pleasures I had was meeting a fellow whose name is Gary, and from Regina, and he is a fellow Oregonite enthusiast. So I'm going to reach down here, and in my hand, I'm holding something called Oregonite, which is a mold. It is a small mold that Gary made he uses muffin tin molds. And then, so what I'm holding is about half the shape of a regular size muffin, without the rising, of course. So it's a composite of metal shavings and a polyester resin. So what Gary's done here is that he's combined a organic with an inorganic substance and melded them together using materials that are commonly used to make these sort of things. And there's a very strong-willed group of warriors online who I guess we could look at them as organite warriors, because what they're doing is that they are creating these composites called organite, and they are placing them all over our planet. And I'm going to tell you why there's a science behind this, and why this is something which the organite warriors refer to as gifting. And I think it's one of the most appropriate words I've ever heard, because gifting indeed. What these things do, these organites, is they work with an energy called orgon, O-R-G-O-N-E, which is also known as life force, prana, chi, and think of it as life force. I mean, excuse me, that's how I think of it, as life force. And because it's in order to understand what's going on, this involves like a bit of a shift in, perhaps a shift in your reality of what science can be. And on the other hand, it's all can be very logical, and that's why I'm drawn to learn about organite and how it works with organ energy. So Gary showed me an experiment, and that really amazed me. He showed me a photograph of an ice cube that was frozen using pure water, filled with water, and one of these and some organite was placed over top of the ice cube tray. Then when the ice cube tray was placed in the freezer, and everything was allowed to freeze, what happened was the ice actually formed a stalagmite, which is one of those cave formations, you know, where the points will either come down or go up. And this demonstrated to me that perhaps, you know, water has an affinity for organite, or, you know, organ energy. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, that's really amazing. And, it's really simply demonstrated too. And, you don't need $1 million science facility to do this experiment in your own home. I tried in my own freezer, which is not, doesn't have the most amazing, freezing abilities. And I did, after my ice did freeze, I did notice I didn't actually get one of the, and actually like a long ice crystal forming, but I did get a point where the water was drawn up towards the organ energy with the organite. And I was like, okay, this is really huge. Because I started to think, okay, well, what else related to life is, could be attracted by this organ energy? And then I thought, okay, well, so looking at the four elements that science used to go by, they used to say that, the four elements are, air, water, fire, and soil. And as Gary had mentioned, using this water experiment, it involved pure water. You can't use tap water. And so I thought, okay, well, I wonder what this organite would do, in the presence of a flame. And so, one of the most amazing revelations of my scientific life was putting one of those organites to that flame and having the flame bend towards the organite that I was holding in my hand. And I thought, you know, that is really, really significant, because then now we have, I've proven to, you know, for myself, you know, beyond, you know, not beyond all doubt, but I'm reasonably convinced that, you know, this organite has, I've demonstrated through simple experiments in my own home, and other people can do this too, that these composite materials can actually attract life. Now, when you think of the implications of something so profound, you know, the other three, by the way, I mean, excuse me, there would be two other experiments that you could do if you had access to pure air, which I don't. I don't think anybody on our planet does, except for, you know, highly connected beings. And then I would think that I had read on the internet that people were doing experiments with clay. And so I think you can, soil wouldn't work, because soil would have, you know, metallic and non-metallic ingredients. And I think going for the pure clay would, I would hazard a guess that there would be a very simple experiment you could do with clay to show its attract, that it would be attracted to these to organite. And I think I might be looking into one of those just for my own curiosity. But I had been making these organite materials for a couple years, and I only made a few, and I was reading on the site Educate Yourself about some of the adventures of Don Croft. The fellow who has the site Educate Yourself, his name is Ken. And Ken posts a lot of Don Croft's adventures with organite. And then also, if you're into organite, you'll find that some of the cloud beings that are known as the sylphs are also called thunderbirds. They're very attracted to this organite energy. And word has it that on the internet, that these thunderbirds use the Oregon energy in order to transmute a lot of the toxins in our environment. And I personally witnessed what I believe many times are these cloud beings that are working on behalf of humanity. And so organite is very important to humanity, and I don't think anyone can stress that enough, because organite is the energy of life force. And I think as a society we have kind of turned a blind eye to our own life force, and we don't necessarily even consider each other's life force with all the you know, all the daily tasks and moments that we all work together or meet one another. There isn't really an affirmation or, you know, a confirmation that we're all light beings. And I think that that's very important, because, you know, I look at the opposite of how we deal with each other, you know, in terms of not dealing with each other as light beings, is because, you know, instead of acknowledging, you know, a person's unique energy, light signature, we end up placing each other in all sorts of categories, and we try to file each other, and we segment populations, and we join clubs and organizations. And we are affiliated with certain political groups, And there's lots of like putting people in boxes and lots of people jumping into other people's boxes. Like, you know, a lot of people want to be defined by someone else. And which, of course, I'm not, you know, objecting to that at all, because everything's an opportunity for learning experiences or not. And I've certainly jumped in many of other people's boxes of how people wanted to define me. And how I was supposed to act. And I find, you know, that for myself, while, you know, I appreciated that, you know, those opportunities were there. Because, you know, I learned about myself. And I learned of more about my own energies, and I learned how my energy is very important to me, and I'm not so willing to give it away to situations that don't respect it. And I must say, like, it's even having Organite in my life has allowed me to meet people and clown beings, and it allowed me to put life force into my space. Gary has done an amazing thing for me, because he showed me that he has an electromagnetic radiation meter. I think he called it a trimeter. And he showed me that you can take like Organite and you can put it near electromagnetic radiation, and it can reduce the radiation in our living space. And that's pretty spectacular, because we're all subjecting ourselves to this radiation every time we turn on a light bulb, or if we plug in, you know, an appliance, or have that TV going, you know, even a television that is on off, you know, may be emitting radiation. So we have the ability to create life force, and all of us do. And for the time being, we have access to the materials. And you can make all sorts of shapes with this material. And I think an added extra element of using shapes based on sacred geometry can increase the effects of these Organite materials. And of course, probably one of the most amazing things to know about Organite is that it does transmute that all sorts of radiation around us. And in fact, if you have something in your area, like a antenna or like a power lines, or cell phone towers, the bigger, the larger, it doesn't matter how large, the larger, the more the effect, which is of a conversion of the negative life force that these technologies radiate into our living space. And there are these Organite warriors all over the planet that are taking these and are gifting neighborhoods everywhere in order to bring life back to their communities. And from what I read online, that this process of conversion of these structures to negative, from negative life force to positive life force, is actually can be read by certain government institutions. And I'm quite shocked by that. I mean, not really, because I've been reading for a while that, you know, we're not always told the truth. And I think that, you know, we're living in very interesting times. It's because this cycle of hidden truths that, you know, globalization and so-called civilization have been weaned upon, we're finding that we're living today in a time of revelation. And that, you know, if there have been, you know, technologies and energies that certain, you know, institutions have been experimenting with since the 1950s, and like Orgonite and Orgon Energy, then I think it's, you know, I'm willing to open my mind and to say, okay, you know, I still have, with an open mind, I still have my truth receptor. And I'm not afraid of anybody getting into my mind. Because I've just done a major house cleaning of my mind. And I'm not going to be letting just like anyone who wants to move back into that space ever again. Which is what I used to do as a consumer of magazines and TVs and newspapers and movies, is that I basically paid for someone else's privilege to tamper and alter my life force by telling me half-truths or feeding me unhealthy things, and or to be bearing witness to something, you know, really I wasn't interested in exposing myself to. And so I'm using this knowledge of life force in order to create life force around me. And then life force, of course, is going to increase my capacities as a human being, as a light being. Spiritual capacities, emotional. So as I bring more life force into my space, as I eat food that's high in life force, photonic energy, like vegetables, lots of greens, and lots of foods of color, then I'm actually increasing my capacities to handle what life challenges me with, what I challenge myself with, and as well with my ability to manifest, you know, beautiful experiences. And so, if we look at physical realities, will shift for the better. Emotional realities, meaning that, you know, you will have gaining more control over your own emotions and taking ownership for them, and taking ownership for thoughts. And realizing that if you have a thought or an emotion that you don't particularly like, well, you got to take responsibility for that and say, you know what, you put that in there because you put yourself put yourself or kept yourself or opened up yourself to be vulnerable to someone else's negativity, which sometimes is called entertainment, or they call it news, or they call it the summer blockbuster of the year, or maybe they call it, you know, the top 10, you know, one of the top 10 songs of all time. And which, who really gives a, you know, a hoot if everyone's listening to music that's basically, you know, creating less life for us all. And that's one of the reasons why I like buying independent music. Is because all, you know, the music put out by the larger organizations have agendas. And I don't even really need to know what it is, but I'm not impressed with at all with how people are degrading themselves. And I really wonder if these who's in control of these, some of these people, because you have these, some of these young women, and probably the men as well, who are it's like they work practically like 24 hours a day under the guise of quote unquote ambition, and they do tours and they're dancing and they're having relationships and they're making CDs and they're posing for magazines and then they're starring in movies and then they're in commercials, videos, award shows, worldwide tours. And for me I just wonder, you know, like, is that even humanly possible? And at what cost? You know, I certainly wish, you know, everyone as much success as, you know, whatever you are attracted to. And I know that there are technologies out there called mind control, and there is something called hypnosis, which is very real. And I wonder if how much of some of this unseen influence plays out in our larger industries. And because we're not always told who has what agenda. And that's what the beauty of the fix that humanity finds ourselves in is that when you accept something in your world that is of detriment to life itself, you know, if you're like whatever role you may be playing in it, if you're buying at the consumeristic end, or perhaps maybe you work for an organization that does things that is hot for the planet, and so on and so forth, and all those choices that we make, you know, in terms of buying things where, you know, where the harm of others is minimized, including the planet. You know, so one of the most beautiful things of Organite is that you actually increase your own capacities, and you can increase the capacities of people all around you. And you can even help the planet heal. And I would encourage everyone out there to learn more about Organite and Oregon Energy, and particularly one of the founding fathers of the study of the science of this life force energy, Wilhelm Reich. Willheim, Reich, R-E-I-C-H. And there's a marvelous story that is really quite astounding. That, I mean, the organization called government that we think is looking out for our best interests. Well, I would encourage you to check out the story of Willheim Reich, and we'll see, you know, how he was treated for what he knew. And of course, you know, governments are fear institutions. Because if the masses can take, you know, these organite materials, and we can prove it to ourselves that organite is real because of the candle experiment and because of the ice cube experiment, and there would be many others, then I think it was just a real foolhardy decision to think that you could suppress this information. And as we're finding out right now, there are regular people all over the world who are discovering organite energy. And they're even creating new jewelry made out of organite materials. And I think that the technology has potential even way beyond where it is today. Because we could now create organite clothing. We can sew in materials that align with our chakra system. We can create hats which reduce the amount of radiation that we expose our brains to, our heads, our entire bodies. We can reduce the amount of radiation that comes from turning on the technologies in our homes. My friend Gary even is able to attach a copper wire to some of his organite, and he's able to ground his computer and reduce the radiation emitting from it, which by the reading on his trimeter can be quite substantial. And so I think perhaps this is a good time to take a break, and maybe we'll spin a few tunes.
There is a ruling elite. There is a ruling elite. They've got the money. They've got control. And all the people don't even know. About you now.
I like watching the clouds. They are the givers. They are the messengers. Did you know the universe visits each of us in the sky? On the internet, they call them selves. They say they are cleaning our air. I say the Thunderbirds of yesterday are here once again to fight our battles in the sky. And now that the weather seems to be turning on us, well, who am I to disagree?
Okay, hello, we're back for a little bit more chit-chat. We were listening to a few songs. The first one was called Elite by Christopher Morris. I really like that song because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there is a group of people who call themselves elite and who have been pulling the strings of humanity for a very long time. And that would be worth looking into if that's something you might be curious about. The next song that we heard was called Sylphs by myself, Indian in the Machine. And that song is a very popular download. And it's been a favorite of mine. It's one of the first songs that I wrote and recorded and finished. And because it was fairly easy to produce, it gave me a lot of inspiration to move further into more intricate and involved productions. So I'm reaching down here and I've got a little jar full of tree resin, frankincense, myrrh. Perhaps you've heard about them in the Bible, and you've wondered, what is frankincense and myrrh? And why doesn't the church hand it out? Why doesn't the government provide it to us in yearly samples come in the mail? Why am I taking all sorts of considerations into my health? Going to the gym, going on these different food adventures, Atkins diet, low-cal diet, low-protein diet, no-meat diet. Diet, diet, diet. It all has to be, it all doesn't have to be the challenge, the effort, the exertion of energy to be healthy. I started taking frankincense and myrrh fairly recently. And, you know, it's kind of remarkable that they were valued so much in the past, and were right up there with gold, if not even surpassing gold, and used as a spice. I found it curious that, you know, if there was so many references to frankincense and myrrh in the Bible, you know, I wasn't used to that, to the fact that there was no disclaimer at the end of the Bible that said, do not take if you're pregnant. Do not take if you have high blood pressure. Do not take if you're lactose intolerant. Do not take if you're under any medication. And I thought, wow, okay, that's pretty a pretty amazing thing to have this frankincense and myrrh be mentioned so many times in the Bible. And then no disclaimer, because we're used to seeing those disclaimers. And we don't feel quite safe unless we, you know, have one. And so I thought, okay, well, I started to make tea out of this frankincense and myrrh and started reading more about it. And frankincense works the pituitary gland, and myrrh works the pineal gland. That's how I understand it. Bringing oxygen to these glands, the pituitary gland being the master gland of all the other glands, including the pineal, I would imagine, I'm guessing. And myrrh would bring oxygen and purity to the pineal gland, the third eye. And I thought, you know, I've slung it out a lot at the gym, and I've walked here and there, and I've bike ridden everywhere, and I have gone to great effort and exertion to be healthy. And I had a breakthrough thought, an epiphany, when I realized, you know, if I was just pure, then I'm sure my body knows what to do and how it's supposed to look. And I thought, hey, you know what? I really like that. Because I can't imagine, you know, when we look at the bodies and paintings of hundreds of years ago, and they looked like really in shape, and I can't imagine that they were hitting the gym 2 hours a day between, you know, between their busy lives. They perhaps may have had more lives of more leisure than us, and had better bodies as well. And I think the purity that was inherently there, that is no longer here now, plays a big role in creating ideal ways to exist, which includes having sense of body, that these bodies are able to enrich our lives if we look after them. And because we know, you know, everything is connected, we know that when we purify our bodies, then we know that it's going to be easier to be spiritual, because our spiritual abilities have a physical component, you know, because they come from, there are parts of our brains, like the third eye, and which affect our spiritual side, our mental and our emotional side, excuse me, and our physical side. So I'm going to drink some tea of frankincense and myrrh, which I mix in with, no, this one's just frankincense, which I mix it in with my other herbal teas. And I avoid black teas and green teas because they're a very high source of fluoride. And I just don't want any more fluoride in my brain. Fluoride crosses the blood-brain barrier. And then can compromise our capacities. So I make purification teas a really, quite a regular part of my day, every day. And I continue to experience results. And I feel that my brain is becoming more active, and I can sense the energy, which are sensations that I never experienced before, growing up, or as an adult. The great thing about purifying my body is that I think it allows me to have more control over my thoughts and my emotions. And then I started thinking about how my thoughts and my emotions are, like a bridge between my physical world and my spiritual world. And again, it's been, a time of major epiphanies, personal epiphanies for myself. I saw, how in my past, how I gave away control of my thoughts and emotions. In one way, I would take a victimization stance whenever something bad happened to me, and which would allow me to justify, negative thoughts and emotions, which of course can become a reflex reaction when that's all you see around you, is people responding mentally and emotionally in a negative way. Negative meaning non-productive. In a way that can see beyond the situation that got you experiencing those negative thoughts and emotions. And ultimately, what it comes down to is that you and me, we are responsible for our own thoughts and our own emotions. And I find that very empowering, because I know now why everybody else wants to influence my thoughts and my emotions, is so that they can influence my life physically and spiritually. And that's why, the powers that be in our limited thinking world give the power to the corporations to influence the thoughts and emotions of the masses, so that they can have control of the physical world and the spiritual world of the masses, and individually, of course. And which a lot of people are quite comfortable with. And, let's not forget that corporations are not even real. And so we give, the power to influence the thoughts and emotions of humanity to corporations, and they're not even real. Now that doesn't seem like the most brightest thing. Because corporations are not created necessarily to give you good thoughts and emotions. Ultimately, there's the concept of control. That a corporation must subtly exert upon a person, and it's called, in business terms, loyalty. And so we are in a world where we're encouraged to become loyal to something, usually that a corporation or another fake entity offers, you know, like a political club or a membership to, like, you know, a magazine of some sort. And so they do know what you know, what makes where we all are needy in our lives for a quick fix of something. Usually it involves knowledge. And so now we're in a world of, you know, the quick fixes of knowledge. 10 steps for this and 12 steps for that. In 30 days you'll have this, in 2 weeks you'll have that. And frankincense and myrrh don't quite work like that. Although you will see, you may see a change, as I've seen, like, you know, incredible change in myself. And it's more of a holistic change overall. And it blends in with all of my other efforts as well that I've been, you know, that have been there long before frankincense and myrrh. And overall, I'm thinking, what an amazing addition to my day is to throw in a few tree pellets that cost only a few dollars. So I continue to walk down the road of purity, and I continue to become a master of my thoughts and my emotions. And as I do both, I have more peace in my world, and I have more peace with myself. And I know that I am a student of me in this 3D working towards 5D reality. Who I am is being revealed to me over time. Just as the same process is happening for everyone. And so I have brought peace upon myself by facing the fact that I haven't been as pure as I could have been in the past, and which is great. And I don't spend a lot of time mulling over that, because then I'm missing out on the purity of the present. And it's my frame of my past is my frame of reference. And it's not who even I am. Any more so than any other moment of time throughout my evolution, throughout my soul evolution. Just because it happened yesterday doesn't make it any more significant to your past than what happened a day 100 years ago, generally speaking. And so I send out the message of purity. And I urge everyone out there to stop counting calories. You know, if you're wanting to improve your physical existence, which is reconnected to everything else. My throat's getting a little sore. Then stop counting portions and whether it's a serving of protein or carbohydrates. And all that counting, that is a distraction from the purity element where we should be focusing our energies and manifesting abundant purity, abundant pure food for everybody. And we know it's, you know, we know our neighbors are nibbling on poison this and preservative that, and factory farm meats and pop that's on sale and the chips that are pushed upon everybody and the french fries. And this by in itself can make a person very irritable because that's the kind of fuel they're feeding their bodies. It's hard to really be blissful on a junk food diet. I mean, look around. The results are evident everywhere. So I'm again going to bid you a many fine experiences walking down the road of purity in your own world. I lift up my cup of frankincense tea to everybody out there. And I'm going to close this final show of 2005 with my wish for everybody out there. It's a song from the Indian in the Machine CD, Middle Eastern Pow, and it's called Make Peace with Yourself.
Me.
make peace with yourself so you can be peaceful with the rest of us. Evolution, soul development, tapping into spirit, finding peace with yourself. We could just all make peace with ourselves.